Hey, dude. So you really expect me to believe that you never podcasted or did any kind of radio before? Really? Come on. I'm not an idiot, dude.
I'm not sure where this got cut off. We'll edit it back in. Frank, you were talking about...
Oh, how did you do that? Wow. You know what's funny? As you were changing the battery, I said, you know, let me shut the ringer off. Just in case, it, you know, someone calls while we're recording. And I'm like, eh, no one's going to call. Frank, you were talking about Q-Ringer. That was amazing. I was talking about the different levels of the different tiered business, how I tier my business out. Entrepreneurs, like, here's the best definition I can come up with for an entrepreneur. Someone who's willing to work 80 hours a week to avoid working 40. Let's hear Vince's definition, which is probably going to be the new definition.
I don't like the term entrepreneur because it's too... Everyone's trying to be an entrepreneur. Everyone's trying to label themselves as this when not really doing anything. So this word gets thrown around too much, and I don't resonate with it. For me, I'm a human being that's trying to do whatever I can do. You know,
you're a business owner.
I own a business. I'm starting to personify the term entrepreneur at this point in my life. But like when I was starting, like people were like, oh, so you're an entrepreneur. I'm like, you know, because it's thrown around too loosely.
It's like the word awesome. Awesome is something that takes your breath away, literally, where you're like, you're like in awe, you can't even, yeah, and awesome, sure. Oh, Seinfeld is awesome. Wait, stop saying that word. So maybe, is that what you're saying, that it's losing all of its...
To me, it's more like, it's just too pretentious. It's just a really pretentious word. Like, you can't, that's the way I feel about it. Whereas me, like, if you call me an entrepreneur, fine, I've accepted it at this point. But it's like being vegan. Like, it took me 2 years... until people were like, oh, so you're vegan. Oh, so you're vegan. Oh, so you're vegan. I'm just like, okay, fine, I guess I'm vegan. And then from there, I kind of accepted and embraced the word. I don't like being labeled.
Well, then what word? I mean, you have to use words. I mean, how do you...
Well, that's true. I just don't like labels. You know, I just don't like labels because they limit you. You know, because everyone has their connotation of a word. Like, the best example I can think of is the news says the word millennial. Like, oh, a millennial is doing this.
Right.
Whereas, okay, a millennial can be some kid wearing a shirt and tie on Wall Street doing
right.
millennial things. Or it can be someone driving across the country in a van.
Right. Because
that's also millennial. But, like, if the news is saying, oh, you know, the jobs, blah, 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 because of millennials, it has a negative connotation all of a sudden.
Huh.
You know, like, these words become negative things all of a sudden. Whereas someone... Oh, these millennials, like someone in my parents' generation says, oh, these millennials are doing this, or we have to change these policies because of these millennials.
Right, right.
All of a sudden, it takes on a negative connotation. And I don't want to be right. associated with that because I'm not,
right.
I'm not, well, I would like to go across the country in a van, but I'm not the millennial real estate agent with a shirt and tie dressed all sharp with a watch.
Right.
That's not what I am. I'm this person that's doing this thing, and I don't want any labels or any names. Because as soon as you pigeonhole me, like some people say, oh, you're a conspiracy theorist, so you believe in flat earth, you're a crazy person. Well, hold on. Let's think about what I actually think, and let's hear that out, and let's have a conversation.
Okay, that's right up there with so much. Oh, you're one of those born-agains? Yeah, okay,
exactly.
I hear you.
Exactly.
And I go, I'm not a born-again. I'm a believer of Jesus Christ. What does that mean?
The thing about all these religions, that's what always messes with my head so bad, is Jesus wasn't a Christian.
No, he wasn't.
Buddha wasn't.
And he hated religion.
Exactly.
Hated it.
Yeah, because religion is a structure. It's a rigid structure that you can't deviate from mentally.
Do you know what the word religion means in the original Greek?
What do you got?
Religios, which means return to bondage.
Wow.
That's what the word means. Religion binds people. It
really?
Screws them up. I'm not into religion. I'm into relationship. Forget religion. I hate it. Hate it. So I hear you.
Because all of a sudden you can't think outside of that.
No.
You know, it's such a weird... And, you know, because I was born here to these parents, now I have to be that. Even being raised... I went to a Catholic school my whole life. I was an altar server. I was a choir boy. Like, I was indoctrinated into this religion.
Yeah.
My parents and family still go to church every Sunday. Whereas, like I said on the podcast, it's more personal to me. I close my eyes and I meditate, and I understand that God is within me, and I could have the ability to bring it out through my decisions. You know, the more good you do, the more good happens to you. It's like every religion says these universal truths. Treat others the way you want to be treated.
Give more, get more, get more, give more. It's all good, man. I love it.
Entrepreneurs, though, you're talking about.
But entrepreneurs. Well, yeah, I mean, I consider myself an entrepreneur, but not in a negative sense. I consider myself, I own 5 companies.
Yeah.
And I think I provide a good service for people. But
You're not in your face about, like, hey, I'm an entrepreneur. You know what I mean?
Like, well, who does that? It's like, hey, I'm a doctor. Like, I didn't ask.
There are people who do these things only to be that thing.
Well, those people are idiots. And those people are the ones giving the word entrepreneur, in this example, a negative sense, a negative connotation, a negative vibe. Yeah. But all entrepreneur means is business owner or contractor. It's a French word. That's all it means.
The word was hijacked by people who think they're doing something, but they're not really doing much. So you watered down the word.
Yeah, like don't steal what the definition is. What are you doing? You're a vegan. Oh, I get it. Oh, you're one of those millennials. Oh, you were born again. Okay. Oh, so you're like kind of like a Jesus nut. Yeah, I am a Jesus nut. What kind of nut are you? What? Oh, so you're married? Yeah. Oh, so you gotta make the call, right? I gotta make the call? What does that mean? You know, you gotta call your wife, like, whenever you do something. Like, whenever you make a movie, you have to call your wife. I'm like, I call my wife because I love calling her my wife, and I love hanging out with her. That's why I married her, you moron. Anyway. So, but see, when I get into it, like, the New York really comes out, man. I live in Jersey. I'm from New York, but I'm in Jersey. Anyway. Yeah, so that's basically, I think I provide a good service, and then it's with that service, because I don't offer contracts. I won't do contracts. I won't lock somebody in because I don't like them, right? So why would I do that to somebody? I'm a handshake kind of guy, right? And my only thing with a contract is, okay, I'm going to do this work for this amount of money. Sign here, and that's it. But month to month, there's no contract. It's just a contract to get the work going, and then that's where it starts and where it ends, right? So if I don't do that work, now you have a legal precedent to say, hey, you didn't do this work, mm-hmm. and then you make it right? Okay. So my contract month to month is with a relationship. So if I treat you right every month, why would you even think about going somewhere else? We have a relationship. We're not only working together, but we're also now friends. So that's my whole theory, my whole idea with, I think contracts as opposed to covenants, contracts are based on my behavior and your behavior, like a prenuptial agreement. That's not a covenant. That's a contract. If I have to sign a prenup, I'm not marrying you. And I would never have my wife sign a prenup with me because, first of all, she has more money than I do. Second of all, but secondly, it's based on behavior. If you don't do this, then this is going to happen. If you do this, then this is going to happen. No, how about we just relate to each other and just show each other respect? You show each other respect, everything else is taken care of. Whereas a covenant, see, the covenant of marriage says, I'm going to love you, and it's not based on how you treat me. And that's why God has a covenant with man. Hmm. You can't change God's opinion of you. Even if you tried, you can't do it. It's like there's nothing... My dad will say about his kids, there's nothing my kids could do that would make me not love them. It's not based on behavior. It's based on, I love my kids. I don't care what they do.
God understands that we're all growing. Like, we're all, as humans and as we evolve through our existence as humanity into whatever's next.
Right.
We're all ultimately going to learn and going to grow and reach Him.
Absolutely.
Even if that path leads us to straying away from going all the way to hell, figuring out what's going on in hell, and that you don't want to be there to get back to Him.
Yeah.
So God always loves you and understands that you're going to find your way to Him.
Right.
You know, it's just you have free will.
Right.
And eventually your free will lead to you wanting to make yourself feel better. And
sure.
Existing in hell doesn't feel good.
So right, exactly.
So you want to get out and get closer to Him.
Absolutely right.
So that's why you have to hit rock bottom and enter the gates of hell in order to realize that there is this other side to it.
It was people about relationship. My wife asked me once, she goes, you know, what if we had a kid and you find out that, you know, your son's been lying to you, right? I know what I would do.
Well, lying to you in what sense? Like, you
didn't. Well, just not being honest with me or doing something that, you know, maybe that wouldn't please me as his dad. You know, just being rebellious, whatever. Whatever the case may be. Something that you can say to yourself is bad, right?
Yeah.
Okay. I said, I think what I would do is buy him a bike or take him to the movies, take him to his, or get his favorite ice cream. Or treat him. Because I want to show him there's nothing you can do that's going to make me not love you. Now, watch this. My kindness to my son will now put in his head, I don't want to disappoint my dad. I'm not going to do this. Now we have relationship. And I'm not bribing him. I'm showing him something. I'm showing you no matter what you do or not do, no matter how you think or not think, is not going to make me judge you or not love you. You're my kid. And that's just an attribute that I like to even use, like even in business and friendship. And it's not based. I don't care how you treat me. I don't care how you, Vince, let's say, treat me. It doesn't matter how you treat me. I still love you. Mm-hmm. And I'm going to proceed and I'm going to treat you with the love that I'm going to show you. It's not based on relationship. It's not based on behavior. It's not based on that at all. You know, and a lot of people, oh, that's crazy. My wife is the best friend anybody could have. There's no better friend that someone could have than my wife, Christina. They don't exist. There are people that treat her like crap. And she invites them to things. And I'm like, what are you doing? Why are you inviting them? So because I love them. It doesn't matter how they treat me. I love them. And I'm going to show them love. Hmm. Because love trumps everything. And I'm like, all right, whatever. She goes, you know, faith works by love. How do I have faith in something and not love this person? And I'm believing for something good for me if I don't show love. I'm like, okay, well, hey, amen. And little by little, you know, she challenges me with that. She's like you with that. She challenges me. She told me, I'll never forget this. I think about this every day. She said to me years and years ago, she said, Frank, your actions speak so loud, I can't hear what you say. That, like, changed my outlook on life. And so any success I have, I really mostly attribute it to her.
It's a beautiful marriage. It's a beautiful, like, reunion.
Well, you could thank her, too, because if it wasn't for her, I don't know that I would have continued allowing myself to be challenged by you.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow, it was that big of a deal?
Oh, it was a big deal for me. Yeah.
How?
Because I had to change my entire way of thinking about my process. You know, I'm using my process that I know works. I know it works. Uh-huh. There's no question.
Right.
On you, my new client at the time, your client, because I'm going to be doing this work for you every month, right? And then when you started saying, well, I don't really want to do it that way. And I'm like, well, what does he know about podcasting? He's never done this before. He's going to tell me how to do it? Me? I own New Pod City. What is he? I'm an award-winning podcaster. What is this guy telling me? He's never even done it before. And I was getting pissed. And I would cheer with my wife, big mistake. No. Don't apologize, because I wouldn't have grown. No, don't apologize. I don't accept that apology. Okay. Just shelf it. Give it to someone who doesn't give a crap.
It's back.
I value that now. I see the value in it now. And if it wasn't for my wife, because I would tell my wife this, and she's like, yeah, and what's the problem? I'm like, the problem is he's not aligning with what I know works. She's like, okay, so if it doesn't work, he'll see it doesn't work. And if it does work, you'll learn something. I'm like, you know, I don't, lie to me once in a while. Say, oh, Frank, it'll be okay. Or, yeah, trash this bum. He's a, you know, what does he know? You know, so. but she's just like, she does not hold back. And let me tell you, if you're listening to the show and you have that kind of relationship with somebody, and they're brutally honest with you, you better savor and value that relationship like nothing you've ever had. Because you're missing out if you dismiss it. When people are like, the people you have around you, a hand is not really at home without fingers, right? A hand really works well when there are fingers attached to it. Ideally, five fingers. Ideally, that's great. You know, when you're putting together a band, you want to put the bass and the drums together because they work together. They go together. They're separate instruments, but they also work very well together. Rhythm, percussion, right? That whole thing, right? Okay, so the people that are around you, some of them have a similar skill set as you. Some of them have total different skills than you that you need. Right, but maybe you can't do, and they need from you, but they can't do. So it's like when a hand finds its fingers, the hand is very happy and very effective, very productive, very helpful. Sure. Okay, so if you try to buck people that are around you that are giving you criticism, now look, I'm not saying listen to everybody. Mm-hmm. I say listen to people who are in life where you want to be. Let them criticize you. People who are like, you know, divorced 8 times. Don't go to them for marriage advice. They couldn't make it work. Yeah, I don't go to them.
They're just angry. It's like people can only give advice from the level of which they've attained.
Exactly. You know,
like, right. And that took me so long to learn because I quit my job and I'm having all these people tell me, don't use the word vegan. You know, you should change the name. You should do subs. You should sell subs. And everyone's telling me these things as I'm trying to start. I could have let that in. I could have let those waters in and I would never be here.
You'd never be. We probably wouldn't have even met.
Exactly. So that's why I knew back then that I had to do this, despite everyone telling me not to do it, despite right. everyone telling me to change the name, despite everyone telling me, you should do this, you should do that, you should change the name.
Meanwhile, what are they doing? Like, shut up!
There's I'll tell you what they're doing. They're still doing what they were doing when I told them that I was doing this.
Which is nothing.
Not nothing. They're doing what they're doing, but I'm here doing so much more than what I even thought I could do.
I have a feeling they're doing nothing. Nothing in the grand scheme of things. Like, what are you doing? You're doing nothing. You're going to your job. You're doing your thing. You're doing your life. And you're giving advice to people that, number one, didn't ask for it. Number two, you have no business giving because you don't have the experience in the area of which you're giving advice in. I try and stay in my lane. You know, I really try and stay in my lane. If I don't have an answer, I'll say, look, I don't really know. Let's find out. Let's go to this guy and ask him.
That's the thing about your network. Like, my friend Missy, she reached out to me, right? We were hanging out. And she's been doing yoga for 5 years. So
right.
She's been doing handstands like you wouldn't believe.
Uh-huh.
So her body is amazing. And she goes, I want to be a fitness model. I go, okay, I can make that happen. She's like, how? I'm like, what did you just say? I don't know how. A lot of, like, people say, all the places I've got, I knew I would be here. But when people use the words like how, I don't know. I don't know how many, I'm going to follow the path that comes up as I don't know how I got to you. But thank God I did, because now I have this podcast and it's really a cool thing.
Yeah.
So she said, how are you gonna make me a fitness model? So I thought about it for 10 seconds. I go, let me just shoot Frank a text. That was my first thing. So I shoot you a text. You say, yeah, I got the perfect guy. Here's the information. Boom. I just show her my phone. I said, here you go. Call this guy. So,
done.
Yeah. So she had the meeting with Pat.
2 days ago.
2 days ago. And, you know, they connected well. They shared a lot of information. What she got out of him was another connection.
Good.
Which is where she's heading to.
Perfect.
So that's exactly what you wanted.
That's how it works.
You know, regardless of whether or not you can work together with him,
right.
You got closer to this guy who can actually take the pictures and
yep.
mm-hmm. get you out there.
That's it. That's how you do it. You know, I try and get involved with people that I'm not normally involved with. Well, I'm sorry, I should say this. I try and get involved with people that have access to something I don't have access to yet. And that's not my basis of creating a friendship. It's just that I like, you know, I know a lot of restaurant owners now. I'm looking for now to hook up with now, like maybe a plumber. Hey, you know a plumber? I got a guy. I got the plumber you need to use. You know, that kind of thing. Because I want to help people out. Not just about making money. I mean, the amount of money you make is honestly, the way I think about it is that money is basically a measuring stick as to how well you've served your fellow man. That's how I see money.
Can be. I mean, it's
me personally. It's, yeah, you know,
it's just another source of. It's like health.
It's another tool.
It's like you have good health. You have good finances.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's like, how do you get there? There's the most in the box way. It's, you know, you go to school, you get a job, you make this money, you make X amount of money for X amount of time.
Right.
And as everyone who's ever studied money tells you, you know, trading money for time is the worst thing you can do.
Oh God!
Because not only are you exchanging that time for money, money becomes the most valuable thing in your life. And you're just so afraid to give it up for like any reason, because you've worked so hard your whole life just to amass the savings, and then all of a sudden, you know, there's an opportunity and you don't want to part with that money. So now you're just stuck still in the same system. Like, you're even afraid to invest it. It's a rigged game.
Do you mind if I blow your listeners' minds for a minute?
Yeah, this might be important.
Okay.
I'm waiting on a call.
Go ahead.
Hello? From Verizon Wireless, I guess that wasn't it. But yeah, I'm waiting on a call from that guy who's going to rent out that kitchen to me, hopefully. So just waiting on that.
Awesome. Mind if I blow your listeners' minds for a minute? All right. All right, so you in the car listening, check this out. If I had a 1972 Volkswagen Scirocco, it's not a classic car, two-tone, white and rust, right? And you had a gold brick, would you trade with me? I'll give you the car, you give me the gold brick. Yes or no? It's not a trick question. Would that be a good trade for you? No, right? Okay, good. Because you're giving something that's more valuable for something less valuable. That's dumb. Okay. If I had a bag of feathers, 2-pound bag of feathers, and you had a 2-pound bag of gold, would you trade that with me? No, you probably wouldn't.
Unless you're a cold bird.
There you go. Unless you're a cold bird, you probably wouldn't. But with a bag of gold, you can just buy a sweater if you're a bird, right? Okay. If you ever lost $10, I'll ask you, Vince, if you ever lost $10, could you make $10 back again?
Sure.
Somewhere. Absolutely, right? If you ever lost an hour, could you make an hour back?
Never.
No, no, it's gone. You'll never get it back. You would agree that trading something more valuable for something less valuable is a dumb trade, right? For the person receiving it.
Yeah.
If you could make money again after losing it, is that more valuable or less valuable if you lose it? It's less valuable because you can make it again. If you lost something that you can't ever get back and you lost it, like time, would that make time more valuable or less valuable? Right. More valuable. Okay. So what are we doing taking our time, which is more valuable, and trading it for something less valuable, someone else's money? And we do it every day for 40 years, 60 hours a week at times, right? Going to a job you don't like to go to, dressing the way they say to dress, eating the food they say to eat based on how much money they pay you, driving the kind of car you are driving based on how much money they owe you, or they pay you. They don't even pay you for getting ready in the morning. Well, I wouldn't get up at 6 o'clock in the morning if I didn't have this job, but you have this job and you have to get up at 6 o'clock to make the 7 o'clock train to be in there by 8:30, but you're not getting paid for that 2.5 hours. You're not even getting paid for that. You're getting paid for your job. Yeah. You are not getting paid what you are worth. You are getting paid what your job is worth. Jobs don't work. Now, I understand having a job in the meantime while you're building something, great, do it. Work your job like you've never worked it before. You entered into an agreement with your boss. You're going to do this amount of work for this amount of money at this time. Then you do it 150%. You give it your all. That way, when you leave, they know, wow, someone valuable left. They feel it, okay? And maybe you make them into a client. Okay. I want to get on that four-letter entrepreneur word. But my point is, why do we allow ourselves to get disciplined to build someone else's dream when we really should be building our own? Because either way, you're going to get disciplined.
In the system, we're so indoctrinated in addiction, you know, that we can't even focus on what our purpose is.
Oh, we're out of control.
And I'm not talking addiction as far as opioids. I'm talking like simple addiction, like sugar and fat.
Like, you might as well be addicted to drugs.
Right. That's how serious it is.
But or TV.
People don't even realize like caffeine is a huge drug. That's a huge addiction.
It's my second cup of black coffee.
Yeah, so, you know, while you're working, if you're thinking about your next cup of coffee, you're not thinking about what your purpose is.
Right.
And that's how they want it. Like, a lot of people are so lost and confused and depressed because they're working these jobs. But what they need to realize is they have the power to free their mind to think about what their purpose actually is by reducing the amount of addictive behaviors they have.
Oh, that's good.
So they're very...
That's a good word. I like that.
That's how I got here. That's literally how I got there. I freed my mind from all the addictions and I became a free thinker. My mind is unshackled.
I'm not
worried about when I need to eat. I'm not worried about having caffeine. I'm not worried about a cigarette. I'm not worried about a Red Bull. I'm not worried about a soda. I'm not worried about having a fatty meat burger. I'm not worried about any of that.
You're living your life.
I'm living my life as free as I can. When I'm hungry, I eat. You know, I'm not thinking about stopping at something unnecessary like Starbucks and paying $6 for a cup of coffee.
Right.
They're vampires.
The
entities like this are energy-sucking vampires that have been placed on this planet. You know, you see a pack of cigarettes and you think about it. If you're a smoker, you want it. You think about it. You go there. As far as a Starbucks goes, it doesn't even have to exist. We don't even need coffee. But there are people online for coffee for hours. You know, I'll do a festival and there'll be a coffee tent set up. Mm-hmm. And I'll just be standing on this line for someone else who's getting a coffee. And mind you, I was addicted to coffee like no other. And I'm standing on this line thinking, this doesn't even have to exist. This is unnecessary, but people have this addiction, so it exists. Whereas I'm feeding people healthy food. I need to exist, you know, but people don't even want that. You know, people don't even want this healthy food that's going to heal them and get them where they need to be.
Because they don't feel like, I can't eat just vegetables. And they think that's what veganism is. Mind you, I'm not saying I know what it is, but I know it's not just that.
It's the most amazing, because here's the thing about veganism and food, you know. You have chicken, steak, and fish. Chicken doesn't taste like much. You boil chicken and you eat it, it doesn't taste like much. Same with steak, it tastes horrible. So you have to put plants on it and marinate it with plants in order for it to taste good.
Huh.
Whereas you eat a pepper tastes like a pepper. A cucumber tastes like a cucumber. Lettuce tastes like lettuce. You know, people think, oh, it's so restrictive. No, it's
right.
not. You
right.
know, it's really not. Meat is restrictive because you always have to make that the center of the plate.
Right.
Whereas
okay.
at a vegan place, you can make a portobello mushroom the center of a plate. You can make kale the center of a plate.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's just so much. There's so many more options. Whereas most places just say, oh, here's a veggie burger.
I like what you're saying about the whole needing as opposed to wanting, or, you know, like, I need, you know, I told my wife the other day, I said, oh, I really need a cup of coffee. She's like, you don't need a cup of coffee. You want a cup.
You're addicted to it.
I can stop whenever I want. I can stop whenever I want. Look. Yeah, I just put my coffee cup down. Although I am going to have one more sip.
Anyone inside of an addiction thinks they have control over it. You know, but once you really realize that that addiction is a beast and you start fighting it, you go back. You're like, oh, I need this coffee. Thank God I have it. But it's like we're warriors fighting this battle against these addictions.
Right, right.
You know, like coffee is an addiction. It's like,
yeah.
Like I have this one friend who's like, oh, I have ADD. You're addicted to caffeine. You have a stimulant addiction. You know, like I was like that. Like my brain was hyperactive and I thought it was because I had ADD.
Mm.
But it's just because I was having caffeine and it was just misguided.
Right.
Now all these thoughts I have are more focused. So I'm able to do a podcast. And when I say just do something.
Yeah.
Like I just started a podcast. Like I just did it. You know, whereas.
Yeah. That's not what I meant before about just and only. Yeah.
I'm explaining to you how I understand that.
Gotcha.
Because like I will like. I showed you that place, right?
Mm-hmm.
To me, I say I just need to clean it up and I just need to throw some sheetrock, replace the windows, put a floor down, put a ceiling up. And I say just because I carved a niche into an industry that didn't exist with food trucks I built in my parents' driveway. I didn't even see that I could do that.
Right.
This I could see I could do. I could.
Sure,
I
sure.
Because I have friends that have built and restored houses. So in order for them to just come and help me out in their downtime, or if I'm living upstairs and a few of my friends live with me, painting, sheetrocking, sweeping.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
We're not replacing anything. You know, it's like everything exists there.
Right.
And we just have to do it.
Right, right.
It's like you remember that this is all just a game.
Yeah.
It's like you remember, oh, we shouldn't stress. Like, we should just be free to do what we want. And in doing what we want, we're fulfilling our purpose. As long as you're doing it righteously.
If you do I was just going to say, okay, that's the part. That's the part right there. As long as you're doing this in a righteous, I don't mean self-righteous.
No.
In a righteous way, and you're implementing a process that is helpful to just society, you know, then I don't really see how you can fail.
The universe will help you. The universe, through synchronicity and through human beings, will help you. Because if human beings see you doing something good, they're inclined to help.
Mm.
You know, it's not like I was talking about this on the last podcast where, you know, I was a real estate agent. No one wanted my help, not even my friends, because they didn't want me realizing, you know, knowing their finances. Plus, they wanted the best, and I'm just starting.
Okay,
so
right.
It's tough.
Yeah, it wasn't an offense to you. They just wanted what they wanted.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because obviously, when you're buying a house, you want the best. And yeah. I'm not the best yet. I can see myself getting there, but I'm not the best. So I got like 100, I got 86 followers in like 3 months of doing real estate on Facebook. Started this podcast, I got 200 followers on Facebook already. You know, and I haven't even done anything yet.
That's awesome.
Right? It's crazy.
I love that. I really love that. Awesome stuff, brother.
Yeah,
cool.
You looking to wrap it up?
Yeah, I got to bounce. Got a couple of other meetings today, but nice. You were my first meeting, so I wanted to start my day off correctly.
Just on the right foot.
And give Vince the best fruits of my day,
awesome.
Which is the first meeting.
Yeah, it's our first cup of coffee. Got everything.
First
going.
Cup of you're coffee. Going. Got it all like, going. I'm ready to move. I'm going to spar a little bit. Whatever I got to do. And it's a pleasure knowing you.
Awesome.
It's an even more pleasure working with you and assisting in the manifestation of this vision. I'm just honored to be a part of it. And it's so funny how we met through. I have a friend. Her name is Jackie. She's a vegan, she's a Muay Thai fighter, she's a professor at University of Pennsylvania, and she said, hey, this guy needs an app. And I'm like, okay, well, you know, I didn't know that she didn't know you. You know, I sent you a message on, what was it?
Gmail. You sent me an email.
I sent you an email. Why did I think I sent you a Facebook? Because I'm not on Facebook.
Huh.
Why did I think it was a Facebook thing or an Instagram or whatever? And I just said, hey, you know, If you're serious, you want to do something, you know, here's my website, let me know. You know, I'm very like, if you're going to use me, you're going to use me. I gotta sell you on how great I am, you know? Yeah. So, and then you just shot me back and we met at Barnes & Noble and that was that.
Here we are, 8 episodes in.
8 episodes in and he's already on iTunes.
I have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 in the chamber right now.
Wait a minute, you have another 6 to go?
I have 6 episodes. I have 6 episodes that are recorded right now that I need to edit.
Crazy bastard.
So, right. I have Aaron and Missy part 2, which is better than part 1.
You got a part 2 with Aaron and Missy? Holy smokes.
And It's better. Me and Aaron, it's funny because me and Missy edited the first one. I was hanging out with her.
God.
And then I was hanging out with Aaron. I was like, should I edit it? We were just cracking up. We couldn't believe how funny it was.
That is hilarious.
So I have another one with Aaron and Missy. I have one with Aaron, my friend Chef Sean, who's very smart.
Sean is a chef?
Yes.
His name is Chef Sean?
Well, his name is Sean. I call him a chef.
Right, that's hard to say. Chef Sean. Catching up with Vince. He's a relatable guy. Not really. You're actually not relatable.
You don't think so?
No. And I mean that with all due respect, too. Because I don't know any 29-year-olds that are like you. Most 29-year-olds that I know are like, you know, they're living with their head in the clouds. They don't know what's going on. They don't know what they want to do with their life. They're, you know, we bury people, like, when they're in their 80s, but a lot of them die when they're in their 20s, you know?
Yeah,
definitely. And those are the 29-year-olds, for the most part, that I know, you know?
It's tough, man. It's really, really tough, because if you don't have...
What's tough?
Life right now is very, very tough, because...
Yeah? Why?
The system is so much more indoctrinated now than it was back then, when like, more so than ever.
Yeah.
You need to go to college to get a job. And that's all you think you're capable of at this point.
Ugh.
The system is so heavily rigged in the system's favor at this point, it's so difficult to escape. So a lot of those 29-year-olds you see are just having a tough time. They just don't they don't know what they don't know. They don't know to know the things that I know.
Well, this is why you're doing a service with this podcast. They need to know this stuff on this podcast.
I was thinking that on the last one, I was like, you know, if I have a thought or someone has a thought and brings it to you and pops it in your head,
mm-hmm.
all of a sudden you also have that thought. You didn't do
now it's my thought.
You didn't have the legwork of like getting there, figuring it out.
It doesn't make it any less my thought now.
It's your thought now and you can take it further, have it play into your life.
Oh, but you got that idea from... No. It's mine now. It's in my head. It's mine.
Yeah. You're the only one in there.
Yeah, I hear you.
So yeah, I did. So I have one... Another.
What are you looking for?
This right here. Oh. So I have another episode I need to edit with Sean... Aaron and Lauren.
Chef Sean.
And we recorded that outside of Princeton where they took a picture of us outside the building. So
okay.
After that, I went to hang out with Missy. So I have another episode with Missy.
So a single episode, like one just with Missy.
Missy and two of her friends from Oregon. The suicide girls are things that came around a few years ago. It's girls with tattoos to show off their bodies.
Right. And they're called suicide girls?
Yes.
I don't get it.
That's what it is.
I understand it's what it is, but what's the reason? Why is it? Why are it's they like, called? Oh, so it's like a goth thing. I've never seen, and I can say never. I've never seen a goth person running. You never see them in any kind of hurry.
Huh.
I've never seen one run across the street. Never. Here's my other thing. They're breaking from, you know, the, what's the word I'm looking for? They don't want to, like, what's that word when you you don't want to be like everybody else?
Conform.
Yeah, you don't want to conform to what other people say you should be wearing and stuff, but yet they all look alike. All the goth people look exactly the same. They've conformed to their own look now. Isn't that weird? And they don't run. They're always walking very slow. I've never seen them working at a front desk somewhere or like as a customer service person or a cashier. What do they do? How do they have money?
It's like a self-fulfilling prophecy. You know, they think their life sucks, and then it does suck because they can't get a job because they look like that, and they look like that because they want to be normal and they don't want to get a job. So it's like just this horrible circle that they're stuck in where...
Nothing against goths. I just don't understand.
I know them, and I know that they're good people. They're just misguided or something.
Frustrated.
Yeah, they're very frustrated.
I don't think I can make that look even work for myself. The black lipstick, and I just don't think I would be very relatable.
Not
I don't know.
Your hair? You don't think so?
No, well, I'm totally bald.
Yeah. Let me get a picture. Showing a picture of like some kind of.
Yeah, I have to have been with the coffee though.
I want to get like I want to make sure people know this is a. Oh, this is a picnic table.
My little print. You gotta send me a copy of that picture.
So which one should I use?
I'll come all alone at a little table and being punished.
I think this is it.
Cool. Were you going to use that Instagram?
Yeah, just post on Instagram that we did the show. You can't really see the princess thing. It's a good shot.
Like a cuckoo clock's point of view. From the bird and the cuckoo clock, like crop it like right around there. It's perfect. That's great. So, send me a copy of that. Put it on my New Pod City feed. Here's what I want to do real quick, if we can. I'd like to record a quick show for New Breed.
Definitely.
Where's my recorder? I know I have it here. Oh, it's in my pod. This is going to be a little bit more structured, and it's going to be very fast.
This is going to be a crossover episode, right here.
Yeah, crossover episode from catching up with Vince to New Breed at 11:11. It's 11:11 right now?
Right this second.
Wow. Been here for 2 hours. Sounds like it's going to be like a two-parter.
Yeah.
All right, guys. Well, I'm Frank Sasso. If you want to know more about me, then you got problems. Get a life. FrankSasso.com. FrankSasso.com. That's Frank Sasso, SASSO.com. And no, I'm not on Facebook. I just, I'm more of a social guy. I don't like to be used anti-social media. Because I think Facebook is like, how many of your friends on Facebook can you call at 2 o'clock in the morning and say, come over, I need you, and they won't ask you why? You know, that's, you know what I mean? I think it's I don't know. Sure. But in any event, yeah, thanks for listening. This was awesome, bro.
Yeah.
I like it.
So what do you got? Let's get yours going.
I'm going to jump right into New Breed. Ready?
Thank you for coming and being on, obviously.
Hey, thank you for having me. Appreciate that. Yo, yo, podcast here. Frank Sasso here with New Breed. And it's been a while, but we have retooled the podcast into what you're hearing now, which is basically the same podcast, only we're just drumming it up again because we have a lot of cool new info for you. We're going to have a lot more guests on very soon, including today. I'm here with a very special guest, Vince Galino, the host of Catching Up with Vince, brand new podcast through New Pod City, which is very, very awesome. Vince, hello.
Hey, Frank, how's it going?
It's going great, man. Thanks for coming on.
Yeah, thank you for having me.
You are an interesting guy. You have a lot of things going on. You have, what's the name of the farms again?
Forever Farms.
You have Forever Farms. You have Try Vegan. You got the meal delivery thing going on. You're looking at, you're actually in the middle of buying a property now that you're gonna have concerts at, recording studios, yoga classes. I mean, you're like doing it all. You're 29 years old. I want to smack you because something. I want to smack myself because I can't believe there's a 29 year old that actually exists that thinks the way I think now. Hear me at 50. So I find you amazing. You're constantly challenging me, by the way, as one of my podcast clients, but you are amazing. Tell us a little bit about the structure or the non-structure of your podcast, Catching Up with Vince.
What I wanted to do with Catching Up with Vince is I thought, what do I want? How do I want to listen to radio? What's the best kind of radio? And I used to listen to Opie and Anthony, and then from there I started listening to Joe Rogan. And the best shows are when Opie and Anthony just had like all their friends on, all the comedian friends, and there's all, you don't know what they did in their day, but their stories are funny. Right. So I've always just had that relationship with my friends where we're all super smart, we're all funny, and we all just have a lot of information to share. So I just wanted to put a microphone down and make it a show, and that's essentially what I did.
Now, I was just on your show, Catching Up with Vince, and we had, you know, well, I had 2 cups of coffee. I had 3 beignets, which if you know anything about New Orleans, beignets is like the zeppoli or like a fried donut kind of a thing with powdered sugar all over it. Love it. Vince didn't eat anything because he looked at me like with this very, very, like, how disgusting of you to be to be drinking that crap in front of me. But you're cool because a lot of the word vegan sometimes has like this negative connotation to it, like, oh, you're vegan, so you don't do this and you don't. They tell you all the things you can't do,
right?
like you're depriving yourself of, like, you know, earthly pleasures, right? So, but what's cool about it is that you don't, it's like you're not in anybody's face about it.
No.
Like, you let me drink my coffee, I'm enjoying my coffee, I'm also kidding about the disgusting look, but I'm enjoying my coffee and you're just hanging with me, cool. I like that.
Yeah, well, That's the thing. Like, I know how I want to be treated. You know, back when I was eating meat and drinking coffee and all these things, if I had a question about it, I would ask and love the information, but I don't want you telling me not to do something.
Yeah.
We all have free will. We can all do whatever we want. So I'm not going to tell you not to do something. If you ask why I shouldn't do that, why shouldn't I be drinking that? I'll tell you. Mm. But I'm not going to poke you.
Sure.
You know, because no one likes that. That's why I want Try Vegan to be a bridge. You know, I don't want to be a divisive thing. Because what happens with people who are like way far into this movement, mm-hmm. they'll throw paint on fur.
Right.
And I understand why you would throw paint on fur and why you feel that frustration and how, because that it's a lot of emotion. If you believe every life is equal and that animal life is equal to human life, think about if you saw someone murdering a human.
Right.
You'd go crazy.
Sure.
But there's a middle ground. Because I understand why that would happen, and I also understand why that person will wear fur. They just don't understand what they don't know.
Right.
So you get more out of people with honey than vinegar. So I would never do that. I would never tell anyone how to live. I will explain people a better way, but you know, it's just not my place. It's not my place.
It's very cool because unfortunately a lot of people are not like that. Yeah. So again, it's like a breath of fresh air to meet somebody who is like that.
Well, what's happening is there's a lot of people like me coming up to the surface, because veganism used to be this thing where that was super underground and like it was hippies hugging trees and all that stuff, and those people started the movement. Now that's the stereotype, but a lot of people are just trying it. Like I have a lot of people that are just trying vegan, and they don't want to label themselves as such because it's such a ferocious word.
Mm-hmm.
So once they are vegan for a while, they become like me. Like there's so many people that are you wouldn't even think are vegan that are.
Right.
You know? And it's just it's beautiful to see. Athletes are becoming vegan. It's once athletes start becoming vegan and seeing the differences in their body and in their statistics, everyone's going to go vegan.
Really?
That was the trick.
Okay.
As soon as, because I've noticed it about my own body. So you have these athletes like Kyrie Irving and people like that who are vegan, and you're going to see the longevity of their careers. You know, you're going to see that their bodies recover faster. You're going to see that they have more endurance. You're going to see that their body isn't processing meat, so they have the ability, better ability. It's almost like you become superhuman.
Okay.
It's like a really amazing thing. Like, I'm shredded. You know, I intermittent fast and I work out less now than I ever did. But because of intermittent fasting and actually putting plant-based foods in my body rather than just quote-unquote vegan,
mm-hmm.
my body is just unbelievable. It's like I feel like this is how you're supposed to exist.
Wow. Okay, cool.
Sorry, I didn't mean to
say that. That's okay. No, I'm gonna shift gears for a second. As far as your podcast goes, where do you see your podcast going? How do you see it evolving?
I started this thing, and I understand. I've always understood that I have a gift to bring people together, and I have a gift with my words. My words are very well thought out. I always have like the perfect way of explaining something to someone. And my ability that I learned through being a retail manager for 5 years, you'd interact with thousands of people from all walks of life.
Okay.
I worked in Lawrenceville where I had someone with a teardrop tattoo, you know, and tattoos all over their body asking me questions. And I had teachers from Princeton asking me questions.
Hmm.
So I can relate to every spectrum of life. And in my life, I've come up, I'm working my way up the ranks. It's like I'm floating.
Okay.
And I want to catch people in that. I want to catch people who are starting their own businesses, who are doing their things. But if I can, like we talked about earlier, if I could talk to celebrities and people who have really done it, like people like The Rock, who've come from nothing, people who have Eminem, you know,
sure.
Like imagine that, Skrillex. Like Skrillex is my biggest hero. And if I can take these people who did what I'm doing now here in different avenues, that would be amazing.
Okay.
Because I aspire to be at that level of success, you know, and I want to meet them there through my own creation. You know, because all these people that I want to talk to created something out of nothing, out of their own person, like The Rock, Skrillex, all these people are who they are and started something entirely new, and now they're there. They're at the pinnacle of their life.
Right.
Just because of an idea they had and just from following through. So I want to take this podcast as far as it'll go. You know, like, if you think I'm interesting and you know somebody who's interesting, please reach out to me.
Sure.
Let me talk to them. Whatever, if someone's into bugs, if someone's into rubber, if someone's into plastic, I don't care.
Right.
I want to inform people about things I didn't know about and
right.
just go, wow. So my aspiration for the show is just blow people's minds. Just give them information, knowledge, and a new way of thinking.
That's it.
That's it.
So how can people get in touch with you?
Catching up with Vince.com. That's the best way.
Catching up with Vince.com. So you have a website for the podcast.
I have a website for the podcast, but the best thing I'm trying to do is to consolidate all my people is follow me on Instagram. But I talked about this with you earlier, and I talked about it in my last podcast, actually. What I'm trying to do is develop an app. And I want an app to be this place where all like-minded people can come together in a forum and discuss things, because that's what we're missing. There are so many people that have a similar way of thinking, but where do I go? Because the people that are into spirituality might not be vegan. People who are vegan might not be into entrepreneurial things. So I want to take all these people that can think so highly in different levels and just bring them together and just come up with good ideas.
Put them into a funnel and let that funnel reach right into this app that you're talking about, and then they can all collaborate there.
They can all communicate and figure out what's going on and how we can help and how we can do things.
That's awesome, buddy. Vince, thanks for coming on New Breed. This is Sasso out.
Wait a minute.